Now, I'm going to come down this morning to the front, and I'm going to speak from there because of a number of objects that I want to use to help illustrate the story that I want to tell this morning. So give me a little minute. And can I just remind the boys and girls while I'm getting ready here that whenever the service is over, don't go rushing out because there'll be cars that'll be leaving and the last thing we'd want would be for any accidents to happen. So boys and girls and young people, whenever the meeting's over, we'll just you stay in your seats and your teachers will take you to the presence that they have for you. Now I want to read just a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 2 and then I'm going to bring the message. If you have a Bible with you, you're welcome to turn to it. And if you don't, well, just you listen. It's Matthew chapter 2. And it's the first two verses. Because everything we must say must come from God's word, not man's ideas, because it's God's word that is true. And in verse 1 we read, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, I'm just going to bind a word of prayer and ask the Lord to give me help because the Lord's given you help, boys and girls, already, and I need help as well. I don't know if you're nervous or you are nervous, but I'm nervous and I want to be able to remember all that God wants me to say. So I'm going to ask for the Lord's help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every boy and girl, for every truth that we have heard declared in song or in word today. Bless it to our hearts. We thank you, Jesus Christ, the Savior of men and women and young people. And I pray, Father, that you'd give me help even now. Bring to my mind the things you'd have me to say. Bless this truth and these truths of Christ and the gospel to every heart. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, a couple of years, boys and girls, my wife and I were in the car. We were travelling home and we were going along the motorway and it was coming up to Christmas time and we began to talk about the Christmas story. And I want to ask you a question. What part of the Christmas story do you think we were talking about? Now it wasn't about the shepherds and it wasn't about the wise men. Any other ideas? What do you think? The Lord Jesus, that's a very good suggestion. He was part of the conversation, but it wasn't what I'm particularly thinking of. Yes, do you know? About the manger? No, no. One other guess? No, but I'll tell you what I was thinking about. Can someone tell me? What was this? The Christmas star. And we began to talk about the Christmas star because I had never heard it preached on. I wonder if you've ever heard it preached on. And while we've read about it, you began to ask yourselves a number of questions about it. And one of the questions we asked was this. Was the Christmas star a real star? Like, for example, the sun's a star. Was it a star like the sun? Or was it something else? Now, before I tell you the very first lesson, because after my wife and I were talking about the Christmas star, I went home. And as I said earlier, the Bible is that which tells us the truth. And I thought, well, I'll go to the Bible and I'll study the Bible and see what the Bible actually tells us about the Christmas star. That which led the wise men from the east all the way to Jerusalem. And I'll see if there's any lessons that we can learn from it. And there are many lessons. I'm not going to get through them all today, but I'm going to try to get through some of them. Now, the first was this. And I want you to see, do you think the Christmas star is a real star like the sun, or do you think it's something else? Put your hands, young people, and by the way, you older ones, you can take part too, because I want to see whether you get it right or not. Is the Christmas star a real star like the sun? Put up your hands, do you think yes?
Yes.
Okay, right, right. Put your hands, do you think no?
No.
Put your hands, you don't have a clue. Well, there's some people, and you must be sleeping still. We're going to carry on. Whenever I looked at it, and I looked at what the Bible tells us, you see, the Bible tells us that the star, the Christmas star, moved because it directed the wise men from where they were in the east all the way to Jerusalem. More than that, whenever the wise men were in Jerusalem, it directed them just a very short distance, just a few miles, then to Bethlehem. And it actually just stopped right over where Jesus Christ lay in Bethlehem. That couldn't be done with a star like the sun. It's too big. More than that, the star, as we'll see, it was perhaps maybe only seen by the wise men. But we'll come to that a little bit later on. So there's no way it was like a star like the sun. And just to make it even more clear, whenever the Bible uses the Greek word for what we have here as a star, it simply means what a star is. It's a bright light. It just simply means a bright light. So the first thing I want to tell you is this. The Christmas star is a miracle. And my first object lesson, now you think this is a bit strange, but it will all become clear, is this. Some soap. The Christmas star is a miracle. It was supernatural. It never existed before. It was something that just appeared, and then it would later disappear. It was supernatural. It was a miracle. Now, boys and girls, a miracle, just to make clear, is something that only God can do, and it is something that is amazing. Now, you picture, for example, some of the miracles that we can read of in the New Testament. Picture Jesus Christ. And there he is, and he's teaching men and women. There's over 5,000 men, and there's women and children in addition to that, and they all begin to get hungry, and you can imagine all their tummies beginning to rumble. And Jesus Christ, he takes just a few loaves and a couple of fish, and he multiplies that, and he feeds every one of them until they are full and can eat no more. That's amazing. That's what you would stand back and say, wow, how did he do that? And only God could do that, couldn't he? You and I can't do that. We can't multiply fish and bread on the spot. Or you picture, for example, the time that the disciples were in the boat and the storm came, and you can imagine the winds blowing and the boat rocking and the waves crashing. And the disciples were all afraid. But Jesus Christ, he stood up and he said, peace, be still. And immediately, the winds and the waves calmed. Wow! A miracle is that, which is amazing, and it's only that which God can do. Or take one last example. Take Lazarus. He had died. He had been in a tomb for 4 days. The color would die to drain from his face. He wasn't alive. And yet Jesus Christ came after 4 days, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the color came straight back into his cheeks. He rose up, and he came to Jesus Christ. A miracle is that which is amazing. People stand back and say, wow! And a miracle is that which only God can do. And every lesson I want you and I to look at, whenever it comes to the Christmas star, it's a picture of the child of God. Because you see, a child of God, the Bible tells us, is a miracle. The child of God is a miracle. You see, the Bible tells us that a child of God, someone who's a real Christian, that we're sinners. You and I have taken the lips that God has given us, and instead of telling the truth, we've told lies. And God hates lies. The Bible tells that you and I take the hands that God has given us, instead of helping people, we've hurt people. And God hates that. And the Lord tells us, and the Bible tells us, that God has taken the hearts that we have, instead of loving him above all, we've often loved ourselves above all. And God hates that. But the amazing thing is that while we have hated God and offended God and sinned against God, yet God has loved us. And the amazing thing is that while we have sinned against God again and again and again, yet for those who are saved, God has washed away all of your sins. You see, you and I cannot do that. You and I could get a shower scrub, you and I could get some shower gel, and you and I could wash ourselves 100 times in the bath or in the shower, but you and I could never wash away our sins. You see, a child of God, someone that's truly saved, is a miracle, because what has happened to them is amazing. One man said it, put it like this. He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, the first object lesson is soap here, because a child of God is a miracle. Someone whom God has loved and he's washed away every one of their sins. I wonder, young people, are you a child of God? Do you know that God has loved you even though you failed him and that he's washed away all your sins? Have you asked him to do that? Now, the second lesson I want to look at regarding the Christmas star is this. I'm going to use mobile phone as the object lesson for it. And that is, The Christmas star belonged to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, whenever the wise men came to Jerusalem, they spoke and they said these words, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." The Bible never describes the star as the star of the wise men, or the star of Herod, or the star of those in Jerusalem, or just any old star. The Bible refers to the star as his star. Now, who is that referring to? Can someone tell me? Who's the his? Who's the he? Jesus Christ, that's right. You see, the star belonged to Jesus Christ, to nobody else but to Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps you're wondering, what does it mean to belong to Jesus Christ? Because again, like the Christmas star, a child of God is not really a miracle, but they belong to Jesus Christ. They're his. What does it mean to belong to Jesus Christ? Well, I thought I'd use a mobile phone. This mobile phone belongs to me. How do I know? Well, I bought it, okay? I spent a fair bit of money and I purchased this phone. More than that, there's a little button at the bottom here and only my fingerprint will unlock it. You can try it, it'll not unlock it. Only my fingerprint will unlock that. More than that, if I was to speak this mobile phone, now you listen, direct me to Lisburg. Going to come up. There we go. It's giving me all the directions to Lisburg. You see, this mobile phone is bought by me, and it obeys me. It listens to me. It belongs to me. What does it mean to belong to Jesus Christ? To belong to Jesus Christ is to believe that Jesus Christ has purchased you. Whenever he came to die on the cross, he came not merely to pay the debt for the sins of people, but you believe he came to pay the debt for your sins. The times you've lied and been jealous and selfish, he came to pay the debt for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins. And as a result, in thankfulness, you strive to be obedient to him. That means whenever the Lord Jesus Christ asks you and tells you not to cheat, you strive not to cheat whenever you're playing games. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ tells you to tell the truth, you strive to tell the truth. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ tells you to respect your parents, you strive to respect your parents. Now, I'll be honest, sometimes whenever I ask the mobile phone to do something, it sometimes doesn't pick me up right, and it will make mistakes. And it's true in life that even though the child of God, we will make mistakes in life, we will stumble in life, but whenever things are made very clear, that you and I will strive to obey them. Can you say this morning that you're like the Christmas star? You are a miracle, amazing miracle. For all your sins have been washed away and God loves you, but also that you belong to Jesus Christ. Him above everyone else, you believe he came to purchase you on that cross, and also that you listen to him, you obey him. Now, whenever it comes to the third object lesson, I want to ask you a question to see if you get it right. So again, everybody's involved here, and the question is this. Why do you think the Christmas star existed? What was its purpose? Any ideas? What was the purpose of the Christmas star? Yes? To lead people to Bethlehem. That's brilliant. Really, really good. The Christmas star, it had a purpose. It wasn't just there aimlessly. It had a purpose, and it was to tell the wise men that Jesus Christ had come, and it was also then to lead the wise men from the east all the way to Jesus Christ, to tell them how to find Jesus Christ. And boys and girls and young people, that's exactly the same as the purpose for a child of God. Your purpose and mine, if you and I are saved, is to tell people that Jesus Christ has come. And it's to tell people how to find Jesus Christ. I find that to be extremely encouraging. Because sometimes in life there are people and they may think, what's the point in life? What's the point in living? I don't see any purpose in my life at all. But I want to tell you, there is a wonderful purpose. Because God wants you to know him if you're not saved. And if you know him, God wants you then to tell others that he has come. And to tell them how to find Jesus Christ. Now, one other question. How did the star inform the wise men that Jesus Christ had come? How did the star do that? Did the star phone them up and tell them? What did the star do? It was very simple. What do stars do best? What do stars do best? Or lights? Any ideas? Yes? It shone out bright. You see, you may ask the question, well, I want to serve the Lord, but how do I do that? It's simple. Shine out bright. Now, let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, I heard about a soldier. We'll call him Bob. And Bob was someone who didn't like Jesus Christ at all. In fact, he hated Christ and he hated Christianity, which is a very sad thing. And in most sentences, he would take the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word and as a curse word. As I said, he had no time for Christ at all. But another soldier who knew him, we'll call him Chris. Chris came to Bob and he said, told Bob just how precious Jesus Christ was to him. Jesus Christ had loved him. Jesus Christ had died on the cross for him. Jesus Christ had paid the debt for all of his sins. And Chris simply asked Bob, Bob, would you mind not taking the name of Christ and using it as a curse word? He said it lovingly. He said it gently. And you might think, well, that's going to wind Bob up. That's going to annoy him. But Bob later came to know Christ. And whenever he told people how he came to know Christ, he told people, and this is what I read, he told people that his journey to Christ, what began leading him to Christ, was what Chris told him, that Jesus Christ is precious. He's special. He's a treasure. How do you and I lead people to Jesus Christ? How do you and I tell people about Christ? Well, first of all, you show Jesus Christ to be precious in your life by being like him, by obeying him. And you tell other people about Jesus Christ, just in your life. Just shine for him. That's your one aim, shine for Christ. In 1 Corinthians, we're told, while you're eating, while you're drinking, do all to the glory of God. That is, in all things, make Christ to be glorious. Can I ask you this morning, do you seek to show forth Christ as glorious, as a treasure, as precious to you? Some people may say they're Christian, they think they're Christian, but they don't live for Christ. If you really believe that God the Son loved you and died for you, while we're not perfect, yet you'll want to love him, you'll want to show him forth as precious. Can I ask you, are you a child of God? You are purchased by Christ, you belong to Christ, and all your sins have been washed away. Now, there's something I want just... I didn't have a globe at home, but I find this a little interesting lesson. We're going to take this, because something happened. What shape's the earth? It's not a balloon shape. It's a circle. It's round. So I apologize, this isn't a circle, but we'll try and squeeze it a bit like this, right? Okay? Imagine this is the earth. Now, imagine the Lord placed the star here, okay? And the Lord placed the wise men here, the other side of the earth. Can someone tell me? Could the wise men see the star? No, they couldn't see the star. Jesus Christ placed the star exactly where there were people there to see it. Exactly where the people were there to see it. And I wonder if there's someone here this morning you think, well, I could never serve God. I want to encourage you. If you're a child of God, God has placed you exactly where there are people there to see you. Where there are people there to come to know the Lord. You're in the family that you are for a purpose. You're in the school that you're in for a purpose. You're in the church that you're in the neighborhood that you're in for a purpose. God wants to use you. But just like the wise men could never know about Christ coming, could never come to find Christ except the star shone brightly, so you and I can never be a means of people coming to hear of Christ or know Christ, except we shine. So I'm going to leave that up there. It may drop and fall. And the little object lesson then for that last one was this. You and I are simply to shine. To shine for Christ. Now you're listening really well, and I haven't got an awful lot more to say for now, but I do have a couple of things. And the next thing is this. I borrowed this from somebody. Okay? It's not mine. But let me ask you this. Who do you think, you can look after that, Frank, that's your Christmas present from me. Don't say I never gave you nothing. Whenever it comes, there's appreciation for you. Whenever it comes to seeing the star. Put up your hand if you think that only the wise men saw the star. Put up your hand if you think that's the case. Okay? Put up your hand if you think all people could see the star. Put up your hand if you don't know. Well, let me tell you. See, the fourth lesson we learn, not merely was the Christmas star a miracle. Not merely was it something that belonged to Christ. Not merely was it that which shone for Christ before men. But the Christmas star was hidden for a time. Because you see, whenever the wise men, they left in the east, they came all the way to Jerusalem, we read that the star disappeared. Then you think, why was that? Why would the star disappear? God made it there to shine. Why would it disappear whenever it came to Jerusalem? Well, I want to tell you two reasons. First is this. I'm going to turn this off just so there's no accidents and nothing goes on fire, and I'm going to set that over there because it covers the light. The light was hidden. Two reasons why the Christmas star disappeared. The first is this. The Lord wanted the wise men to go to Jerusalem. He didn't want the wise men to bypass Jerusalem and go to Bethlehem. He wanted them to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because they would go around and say, where is he that's born King of the Jews? Do you know? Do you know? Where is he that's born King of the Jews? And the wise men would tell all the people in Jerusalem and would tell the King Herod all that Jesus Christ had come. The Lord wanted the people in Jerusalem to hear that from the wise men. Now, the people in Jerusalem had already known that Jesus Christ was coming because they had the Old Testament scriptures. They had Genesis to Malachi. But why then did the star disappear? Yes, the Lord didn't want them to bypass Jerusalem and go straight to Bethlehem, but there was another reason, and this is a very solemn reason, a very serious one. Would you listen up carefully? Those in Jerusalem, we read that whenever the wise men came, they didn't rejoice. They weren't filled with gladness. No, they weren't too happy. They weren't too happy. You see, God had already told them that Jesus Christ was coming. The wise men then just presently told them that Jesus Christ had come. But they weren't happy. And God knew that they wouldn't go with the wise men to worship Jesus Christ. God knew that. And the lesson is for every one of us this morning. Perhaps there's someone here and God has spoken to you. Maybe in days past, maybe you were those that came to Sunday school like Frank mentioned earlier, or maybe you have heard the story on other occasions from different places down through the years, and you've never believed in Christ, you've never worshipped Christ, you've never received him into your heart, and again somebody is telling you again today that Christ the Saviour has come. God has spoken to you once. God has spoken to you twice. God didn't let them see the star the third time. God didn't speak to them a third time. And that's a very solemn thing. Because the Bible tells us, behold now is the accepted time. Behold today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts, the Bible says. Come to Christ today. Because while God can speak once and God can speak twice, he makes no promise to speak a third time. God didn't let them hear a third witness. God didn't let them see the star. God's hid the light. Now, let me just finish by telling you one last truth, and it's this. Whenever the wise men, whenever they have been told by Herod that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and they left Jerusalem, the star reappeared. The bright light reappeared, and it moved ever closer to Jesus Christ until it came to him. You see, what is a child of God? As we've seen this morning, a child of God is a miracle. A miracle, an amazing miracle that can only have come from God. It is that which belongs to Christ. It is that which shines for Christ. And a child of God is like the Christmas star. It's that which gets ever closer to Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, are you a real child of God? I hope so. Are you a miracle? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, he has come to wash away your sins, and you've asked him to do that? You know God's love to you? Do you belong to Christ, that you're seeking to live for him above all, that you shine for him, to be like him, to tell others of him? And are you ever striving to come closer to him. To want to know more of him. To want to love him more. To want to become more like him. Until that day when you meet him. Are you a child of God? If you're not this morning, can I tell you the wonderful news is that Jesus Christ wants you to. Jesus Christ came into this world to save us. And he offers himself freely to all who will come. You can have your sins washed away. You can become a child of God. You can belong to him. And you can shine for him and live a life that will last for eternity. How do you come? Well, simply acknowledge that you're a sinner like all of us. Ask Christ to forgive you because he shed his blood for you. And turn from your sin and simply put your trust entirely in what he's done. Will you come to Christ this morning? Remember, God may speak once and he may speak twice, but he makes no promise to speak a third time. Let us not be like Herod. Let us not be like Rose and Drusman. Let's be like the wise man. I finish with a story. I remember driving along the road a number of years ago, and at the side of the road was a sign, and the sign said, "Wise men came to Jesus Christ. Wise people still do." Wise people still do. Oh, come to Christ and be rescued from punishment. And come to live for Christ. He's worthy of it all. Now we're going to bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless his word and bless you all. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every young person, for every boy and girl. We thank you, Father, for all that has been taught over the past term. Lord, we pray that you take thy word and bless it to every heart here. And Lord, be pleased to bring everyone then back in January time to the Sunday school and the children's meetings and the Bible class again. And Father, may those who are not yet saved see the love of Christ even to them. Not merely to people, but to them this morning. That they will come to know Christ. And may those that are thine see thy love to them, that they are a miracle. It's amazing that God has washed away their sin. They could never do it, but God has washed away every sin. And seek therefore in joy to live for him in thankfulness. And to show all that he is precious above all. Bless thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.